Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jador and the Browns plans at 2, and to help us out with that, we go out to North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from Cleveland.com, and his name is Dan Lobby, and he joins us now. Dan, how's it going?
Hey, how are you doing, Jake?
We're doing pretty good. Well, we had a fun spat yesterday with the viewers of Cleveland that I had. I said one thing about Travis Hunter, and all of a sudden everybody was against me. Just because I don't think he's that great of a wide receiver, personally. But I guess I'm not allowed to say that. Not here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know how draft season is. If you have strong opinions about something, a lot of people are going to be on the other side. They're going to come after you. I personally think he's a pretty good receiver. I do think there's probably some work to do with him at receiver. I actually would rather him be like a full-time corner. Same. And then a part-time receiver. But, you know, when you put out a strong draft opinion, you're going to have people coming at you.
Yeah, my strong draft opinion, by the way, was like a late first-round pick if he didn't play cornerback at all. That was apparently a blasphemy. But it's okay. We'll get to that a little bit, Dan. I did want to throw out, obviously, a lot being said from the owners' meetings over the weekend for this entire time. We've been talking. We've heard Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski. We've heard of things from Jimmy Haslam, but obviously not the audio itself. But he did say in a report that the team isn't going to force it at quarterback. And I just want to know from you if you feel like that signifies that you're basically out at Shador or a quarterback equivalent at 2, or if it's more of just a general speak about the position in general.
I read it more of just kind of general speak, just this idea that if there isn't a guy there, I mean, like you said, they're not going to force it if they don't love a guy. I felt like a lot of what Jimmy was delivering in that message was almost pumping the brakes a little bit on 2025. Like, hey, I know that the last few years going into the season, it's been all about playoffs, you know, Super Bowl expectations. Obviously, they never came close to that. But, you know, kind of that window of contention maybe being open. I feel like he pumped the brakes a little bit on expectations for 2025 that, you know, hey, we're coming off a 3-14 season, trying to figure out the quarterback position. The roster's a little bit in transition. Maybe this isn't going to be quite the year that the most optimistic Browns fans have in mind. And then if it is, great. They sneak up on people. They surprise people instead of having super high expectations and then not meeting them. That's sort of what I felt he was getting at in some of his comments.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much lockstep there. If he's going to tell you, why would he just go through with the secretive as they've been about the pick and they're basically labeled as the biggest question mark? He's like, yeah, by the way, no quarterback in 2, guys. We're done. I'm taking one there.
Yeah, right. I mean, they've been so careful about not giving out any information and not letting anyone know what they're doing. I mean, Charles Robinson goes on a podcast over the weekend and says they're almost like proud that no one knows what they're doing. Now, Jimmy obviously sometimes might go off the cuff a little bit, but I'm sure he got the memo that, hey, let's not tell everybody what our plans are right now.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's play with the idea that means no quarterback at 2 then. Like, if that's what that meant in the Browns, or they just decide not to go it in general, if it were up to you, would you rather have Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter in that spot?
So if it were up to me, I would rather have Abdul Carter, just because I love the idea of an edge rusher. I think that's just a more valuable position. Even if you view Hunter as a corner, which is a highly valuable position too, I just think that edge rusher position, especially in Jim Schwartz's defense, adding another, you know, potentially elite guy there, just changes the entire outlook of your defense. So I would go that way. I do think it's interesting how glowingly Andrew Berry has talked about Travis Hunter, though. And I could certainly see the Browns being really fascinated with that potential of having a two-way dynamic guy like that. Personally, though, Carter would be my choice.
Yeah, I almost wonder if for the Browns, it would be, I don't know if it'd be too much, but it'd be a lot on the plate to try to handle getting the quarterback right, climbing out of the hole of 3-14, and then also trying to navigate what is a rarity that I would think just about nobody in the building has experienced of a two-way player, a guy trying to play both sides of the ball at such a high level and trying to do that all at once in the same season and trying to be competitive. No?
Yeah, and look, this is a guy that wants to do it. Like, he doesn't want to play, like, two snaps at receiver. Like, he really wants to be a genuine two-way player. But I do think, ultimately, at the NFL level, it's got to be there's got to be a specialization to some degree. And so I think even if you looked at it like, hey, you know, he helps you at two positions. He'd be a pretty good receiver. He'd be a shutdown corner, potentially, across from Denzel Ward. I think you have to look at it at, he'd be really great in this one position that would be his primary side of the ball. And then everything else he gives you on the other side would be bonus. So I think you have to look at him as just kind of a single position. And then whatever else you get out of him is great. And I think that's why maybe, you know, if you're valuing him strictly as a two-way player, I think that might be a flawed way to look at it.
Yeah, he feels dangerous, and obviously it comes with the idea that you boast of from Colorado. He's been on the map and just in the media from Dion and playing with national televised games and people with eyes on, and I think it's gotten to everybody's head just a little bit. But that, again, that's me personally. That's just me. But the quarterback position is one that obviously all eyes are on, and if they decide that they want to go down the non-quarterback route at two, I don't think it's crazy to think that they could be going a drafting one elsewhere. Tyler Shough's obviously a name that's popped up and become semi-popular throughout the draft process. And obviously your own colleague, Mary Kay Cabot, throwing out some popular takes about Shough himself. I just wonder, where do you stand on him and potentially drafting him maybe within even the first two rounds if you used to pick like 33 on him?
I think he's an interesting guy. You know, when you watch him, you kind of see what people are saying about him. You see some accuracy. You see some ability to make plays on the move. But I mean, the ball really spins, too. And I mean, he's got an arm. So I see what people are seeing in this guy. I see why people are starting to get kind of high on this guy. I have questions, you know, about how it translates to the NFL level with him, just like I kind of do a lot of these quarterback prospects. But I could see why teams are starting to fall in love with him. He's a little bit more of a classic pocket passer, even though he can move around a little bit. You know, I keep wondering, like, what if we get to, let's say, the Rams? I think they're at 26, right? And they've been dealing with this Matthew Stafford thing every year. They've got to sit there and renegotiate Matthew Stafford's contract. What if a guy like Sean McVay went and knocked on Les Snead's door and was like, hey, you know what, we got to – I know we have maybe some other needs, but we got to find our next quarterback. And they love a guy like Tyler Shough. I mean, that's how a guy like that ends up in the first round, which is what the Browns have to kind of consider as they game this all out. If they don't take a quarterback at number two, the guy they do want, whether it's him or Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe or – somebody else, they've got a game out. Where could this guy potentially go, even if it's someplace we didn't expect?
Is a second round pick on a quarterback almost, I don't want to call it a waste, but is that a spot that you look at and say that the value might not be great sitting at 33, knowing that at the end of the first round, if a team really wants a guy and wants a fifth year option, they're training back up into the first round to get him?
You know, second round quarterbacks have kind of, you don't see a lot of them anymore. And I think a lot of it is because teams want to get up and get that fifth year option. Now, I'm kind of the belief that if you get a guy and you believe in him, you're going to extend it before you even get to that fifth year. I think most players playing out on their fifth year option, you're talking about guys the teams haven't been convinced of, even after, you know, Jed Wills last year was an example. Greg Newsom is playing on his fifth year option this year. So I think we overrate the fifth year option just a little bit, because if you believe in a guy, ultimately, you're going to extend him after that third or fourth season. But that being said, I think the value of having it is important. So I think it is hard to sit there and say, well, we'll just get a guy at 33. I think you have to be ready to move if you're going to wait to take a quarterback.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Now, we've seen some of the talk over the weekend again for Kirk Cousins begin to heat back up for the Browns, and maybe with everything saying they might not go quarterback at two, and just Kirk in general apparently being a talk during the meetings. I know Chipotle wasn't officially anything, and we threw that out the door, but was it maybe secretly something?
I'll tell you what, nothing sums up the Browns quarterback situation than fans just on pins and needles about why Kirk Cousins was in Cleveland this weekend. And look, I'll admit, it is weird that all we've been told is, well, it wasn't related to the Browns, but we don't know exactly what it was. I know people have thrown out some theories, but, look, I don't know. Personally, I'm not a big – it's not even anything about Kirk Cousins, but it's sort of what we talked about earlier. Like, kind of what I think this team is and what their ceiling is. I don't think Kirk Cousins changes that. I think at best you're still looking at, if things kind of go your way, maybe you're winning between 7 and 9 games. You're probably not a wild card team. So I don't know. I would rather them take a shot on a rookie, see what he can do. If you're right back here next year, fine, whatever. Do it again next year. I don't think Kirk Cousins really raises the ceiling of this football team.
You mentioned sort of where they could be sitting in raising the bar. The win totals early on, obviously pre-draft, are out for NFL teams. And the Browns, pre-quarterback, pre-draft, are at a whopping 4.5. Dan, would you be on the buy low train and get this thing that the number is going to go up after the draft and as we get to the regular season? Or is this an absolutely just don't go anywhere near it?
I wouldn't go anywhere near it. I would probably take the over, but not by very much. I'm not sounding really pessimistic about this team, but I really do think this is a sort of transitional year for this team. And look, in the NFL, anything can happen, right? A couple bounces can go your way. You play a team at the right time when a quarterback is hurt or some star player is hurt and you're able to pull an upset. But again, I just think the ceiling of this team is probably in that – if things go their way, if they get some breaks, if they change, if they kind of flip the turnovers from where they were a year ago, maybe this is a team that can win between 7 and 9 games. But honestly, I wouldn't say they're going to be under 4.5. I would take the over, but I wouldn't take it by very much. I think you're looking at a team that is in that 6 to 7 win range right now.
Jimmy Haslam, getting back to some of the comments he made, but one that almost surfaced today, I feel like that was more of a focal point, was him challenging Myles Garrett to be a true leader this year. What changes does it make for Myles? Like, what does Myles have to do in order for Jimmy's version of true leader, do you think, to actually come to fruition?
Yeah, Myles he's never been the most vocal guy, and I do think we've seen him grow a fair amount over the years. He seemed to have sort of freed himself up and be a little bit more of a spokesperson for himself sometimes, a spokesperson for the locker room. I think he's taken some of that on. But, I think with Myles, it's just about, can you be a little bit more of a vocal leader? Can you be a little bit more of a, one of those guys that when you think of, like, Myles is never going to be like the Ray Lewis type of leader. That's just not who he is as his personality. But can you be a little more fiery? Can you, hold guys accountable a little more? I think Myles has done a good job of mentoring some of the young pass rushers. I think he's done a good job of sort of, endearing himself to his teammates. I think he was a little more quiet and introverted early in his career, but I still think there's some growing there for him to do. And the reality is when you're, a $40 million a year pass rusher, you have to take on some more responsibility as a leader. That just comes with the territory.
Is it fair to say that in the Browns room right now, they lack almost a player leader in that sense without Myles being that voice? Is that a fair statement to make about this team?
I have felt like they've lacked a little bit of that meanness at times. This is a team that when they played well, obviously they play with a lot of swagger. They talk a lot. That's just kind of how they are. But I feel like they've sort of lacked over the years kind of just that, that chippiness, just that mean guy on that defense, the guy that you're a little bit scared of when you're around him. I think a lot of great defenses have that. And again, that doesn't have to be Myles. Like, if that's not who he is, you can't force it. But I would love it if they could find a guy like that in this draft or something like that, just to increase the mean a little bit on that side of the ball.
I did. I'll shift gears here and sort of toss this one your way. Jimmy and the Haslam's taking final blame, essentially. I don't want to say the true blame or anything like that. I think final blame is the right way to put this for the Deshaun Watson trade, saying that basically that one's on us. Is that an indicator to you that Barry and or Stefanski are getting a longer leash than maybe previously thought?
I think it is, and I think that's sort of what Jimmy was hinting at. I think he decided to take the blame for it, but I think we all know that it was an organizational decision. I mean, we sat there when they introduced Deshaun Watson, and Andrew Berry said, I mean, this was March, he said it had been a five-month odyssey, you know, examining Deshaun and digging into everything that was going on. So you're talking about during the last season that Baker Mayfield was the starter. So, you know, everybody was involved in this. I know on social media a lot of people took it to mean like, okay, this is Jimmy's fault. Andrew and Kevin had nothing to do with it. I don't believe that. I think this was completely organizational. I think Andrew and Kevin certainly were involved in it. But I think this is Jimmy Haslam saying, because look, if you miss on a quarterback this badly, a lot of times people get fired. Well, nobody's gotten fired to this point. So I think this is Jimmy saying, we're kind of giving these guys a do-over here. This was a mistake. He called it the big swing and miss. We're giving everybody a do-over here after the Deshaun Watson debacle.
What does and I know this is not a perfect like a question that can be easily answered, but what does a do-over look like? What is the timetable or the necessary thing that maybe has to go right or not go right that then would bring this to an end? Where does that happen in your best guess?
I mean, I think it's twofold. I think, you know, the most important thing is you've got to find the quarterback. You've got to figure out that position. And you've got to figure out the long-term position. So even like a Kirk Cousins, that wouldn't be a long-term answer. So you've got to figure that out. But you've also got to nail these draft picks. You know, they've got four draft picks in the first 2 days right now. They've got five in the first 104. You've got a chance to really infuse some young talent onto this roster. So you've got to start doing that. You've got to figure out quarterback. And I always say this during the offseason, right, when everybody's kind of holding hands and singing kumbaya, it's really easy to do that in April, in May, in June. It's really hard to do that in September, October, November, when those losses start piling up and you start to feel a little bit of that pressure and that stadium's not as full as you want it to be. So we'll see kind of how long the Haslams can kind of hold this line if the Browns aren't winning in the fall. But I think right now on paper, it's hit your draft picks, figure out quarterback.
All right, Dan, as always, I appreciate you. It was good to sit down, have a talk. I appreciate the insight, and I look forward to doing it sometime soon, man.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yep, no doubt. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline that you're not going to go through and make a rash decision, try to speed up and have your top pick and roll with things that don't really need to happen, right? Like, you're going to give up two just to have Shador. If it's not a guy you love, you're not going to do it, and that's what Browns fans want to hear, and that's what Browns fans want to happen. You don't want to have the number two pick just because you're a quarterback go in. That's, I think, some of our biggest fears across the board is that, oh, right, that's not great. That's not great, right? We have a disappointment and just a complete reach of a quarterback. You don't want to go down that road. That's not the path that you want to head down. You have to completely avoid it. And I think Dan laid that out very well. But you're just going through and saying, in general, we're going to take a step back in the quarterback spot. But if we do love one still, we're going to take one. But just a lot more hitting it, again, from the general aspect. But I did want to go through and address the conversation that we had yesterday, because this was one that very fun on social media. You guys definitely got that one to be very viewed, very, very reacted to, and everybody sort of lost their mind over my thoughts on Travis Hunter. But it wasn't even my thoughts on Travis Hunter. You focused in on three words. Just as a refresher, we'll flash back to last night's show and sum up the clip that was out on the station social media account there and the reaction that you guys had to it. Here was me last night on the potential two-way player if he was just a wide receiver. I don't know where we got to that now Travis Hunter is being sort of valued as the top wide receiver, because that's just not how we talked about him. That's not how anybody talked about him. I'm not saying he's a bad wide receiver by any means. He might be the first-round talent. I probably would say a second-round talent. But it's just, he's fine. It's just not anything that the Browns can really dig themselves into. I just don't think that's the right route to go down with everything you have. Like, to me, when I call him a cornerstone piece and something that teams build around, I truthfully mean that if he goes to a team where they feel like they have a lot of work left to do, which is why throughout the Titans, obviously not as a really realistic possibility here, but just as a team that I view in that way, I think he's going to flourish within 2 to 3 years. I truly think he could be an absolute difference maker in the NFL, but you're a couple years away from probably finding that. Now, everybody liked to latch on to the fact that I said the exact words of Travis Hunter, as a wide receiver, by the way, it was something that I don't know was completely specified within the clip or that people were truly listening to it. But again, the idea that he's probably or maybe a first round pick, probably second round pick, aka he's a late first rounder, early second rounder in my eyes, if he's never a corner. If they decide you're just a wide receiver, that's sort of the route that I go down, because we didn't talk about Travis Hunter as if he was the number one can't-miss wide receiver, top guy in the draft all year long, and that he was a stud and standing out. And the rationale behind it is something that people don't want to hear, which is that, yes, you can look at the guy and go, he's an incredible athlete. He's absolutely insane. And you're going to say he's the top wide receiver. He's a wide receiver that's very good, has incredible ball skill, can run a route pretty decently. I don't think his routes are like incredible, but they're good. They're like, he's by no means a bad wide receiver. As I said in the clip, by no means a bad wide receiver, which is why if he was there, he could still be a first round pick. He could be a second round pick. That's still very high praise for a guy, right? There's nothing wrong with being in that range, but if he was just a wide receiver, he's not the number three pick. I'm sorry, the guy that falsely won the Blitnikoff Award and had no business winning the Blitnikoff Award, but again, because he's Colorado and we had to hand somebody on Colorado an award, he got voted to be the Blitnikoff Award winner over a guy who literally won the Triple Crown. But you can throw that out there. It doesn't make him a great player, hands down. He played one defense within the top 50 his entire time last season. Through the season that he had, he played one top 50 pass defense, and it was Utah, okay, who were like, I think, 49. And he had 5 catches for 55 yards, which, again, is still a fine day. It's not a bad day in the office, but it's not some of the numbers he was putting up in bigger situations. It's not that I don't think Travis Hunter is great. It's that I think everybody has these goggles on that Travis Hunter is the top wide receiver in the draft and the top corner in the draft. Guys, if you were the top player at two positions at one time, it would be a no contest. That guy's going number one. Everybody knows it, and there'd be no reason to hide it. It wouldn't be that Cam Ward massively stole the number one pick because of positional value being boosted up in a draft class that apparently nobody believed in the quarterbacks to begin with. And that we've heard everybody say they wouldn't even be a top six quarterback drafted last year. And then I see the comparisons of Todd McShay saying that he's in the same range as Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. is a wide receiver prospect in the grade that he gives him. Well, Malik Nabers, if I'm not mistaken, was the number six pick in the draft. Marvin Harrison Jr. was a top five pick in the draft. And yet there were quarterbacks going after them that people say Cam Ward is not better than. Again, and that's one position. That's just if he was a wide receiver. And yet Cam Ward is the number one. If you were the best wide receiver, best corner, it'd be no question. It'd be no question you'd be number one. And nobody would be having the conversations. You're willing to take the second best corner and the second best wide receiver within the top 15 of the draft. Travis Hunter would be a lock for a number one pick, and he's just not. I truthfully don't think that there's very many NFL teams that are viewing him in the way that if he was just one spot, if he was just one spot, we'd have him here and we're taking him as the number three pick. It's obviously, and this is why this argument goes down a rabbit hole very quickly, is because this is clearly an argument based on the fact that he's a two-way player and he wants to play two ways, and that makes him special. So 100% he should be a top four, top five pick, because he can play corner, he can play receiver. This is a hypothesis that the guy that you're getting in the room is going to take some time to develop, find that role if with the Browns if you were to take him, but it's not going to happen overnight where he's a great wide receiver and he's a great corner. And I view him as corner first, and I think he's a better cornerback than he is a wide receiver. So I'd want to play him full-time at corner and get the extra bit out of him at wide receiver. And it's not just going to be a absolute stardom from the very start. Okay, you have to adjust to actually playing top-level talent. I think the best corner that he played against all year is like a projected fourth-round pick. Again, not very high praise. Like, you have to show it against something. And he can only play the competition that he plays. But there's a lot of question marks around him to the point where we blow up at the idea that I say he could be an early second-round pick. It's not that big of a knock. That puts him as like a top four wide receiver in this class. Right? I would have him behind Tet McMillan. I'd have him behind Matthew Golden. And I'd probably have him behind Emeka Egbuka. For the value that you're getting if he was just that position, yeah, I think he's got a lot of work to do. He's a bit of a project guy as a wide receiver. And if he was just that, he'd be a pretty big project. That would constitute maybe a second, or maybe somebody spends a late first-round pick on him. But he's not. So we don't have to worry about that. Again, if you want to get your thoughts in, and apparently a lot of people did on social media yesterday, you can. Well, we'll listen. 216-474-0092.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll also get into whether or not the Browns are officially out on Shedeur Sanders, and it feels like things are fading away. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. We just want to get people away from us and not having to worry about it, and we're just keeping people guessing. I mean, it was reported from Charles Robinson at Yahoo, as Dan Lobby even alluded to it at 8 o'clock. Also rewind to 923thefan.com. You go back and listen. But he alluded to the fact that, like, when Charles Robinson was on, it was almost a pride thing from Jimmy Haslam and the Browns that nobody knew what they were doing it to and that they were the biggest question mark. And that's really what we've known the Browns to be. They hold everything so close to the chest and aren't willing to give up any information ever. It would make sense that they're proud of it. And it almost does to me feel like I want to believe it. I mean, I really don't because I want a quarterback at 2, but I want to believe it because people are reporting it that I find trustworthy. But it, as the saying goes, it's silly season, right? This is when everybody is reporting everything and you can't really decipher when it comes to the draft a month out what's true and what's not. Because there's so much of it that just ends up being a false narrative from teams that a scout or a GM is throwing basically reporters a bone to report on that ends up being just completely false because they're trying to spin the narrative, spin the conversation in their team a different direction. And it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if that ended up being the Browns. So what I'm trying to get to here is I don't think that the idea that Shedeur is going to the Browns at 2 is a dead idea. I'm not saying it's, you know, going to happen. We're all out here having taken our best guess and really what we're doing, especially in the case of the Browns. But I'm not saying that it's dead either. The comments from Jimmy Haslam, reports coming out, if that's what the Browns want you to believe, or maybe it's the truth from the Browns, I'm not going to be the one to decipher it and tell you that, yeah, it's 100% a guarantee at this point. that the Browns will not be taking a quarterback in the two spot. I don't know that. You don't know that. We're not ready to sort of put that to bed. We're not ready to do that yet. That is a conversation that's still very much on the table for me. All right, 216-474-0092. Some of you wanted to jump in with basically thoughts from earlier on and the reaction to the Travis Hunter stuff, so we're going to do that. Let's go out to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. Called it initially on the segment as well. What's going on, Todd?
Man, they better not take Shador at number 2. They better I get the hype, man. He has a good completion rate, taken in consideration. He had a very good offensive line, but they need more. What I like about the previous conversation with the guy that you just had on air.
You said they had a good offensive line?
Huh?
You said they had a good offensive line, or were you meaning they had bad?
Good.
You
no, did say good. Without a good offensive line.
Okay. I knew you knew. I just felt like it didn't come across right, because we both knew that's not a good offensive line in Colorado.
Oh, no. Not only – and then you take in considering what they were playing against. And he – nah, man. Don't put that dude through that. But as I was listening to the conversation, and I'm still stuck, Campbell or Bryant would be what I want to happen, just not at number 2. Mm. I was thinking to myself, I've been watching some video of Carter, and I know he played some linebacker. Carter and Owusu-Koramoah on those ends of linebacker, and Grant Delpit playing in close at safety for some plays as opposed to playing deep back at safety. And Wright and Garrett on the defensive on the ends, I'm feeling all right about that, man. I'm feeling all right about that. I mean, naturally, Carter's going to be a defensive end, but Wright's gotten better. He got hurt, but he was getting better. And Wright could swat some balls out the air. And I'm like, man, that dude is not to be left unconsidered as his quality of play for the Browns, but you don't want to leave Carter off the field. So maybe linebacker, that makes him more valuable because he's such a good defensive end and he's got the linebacker skill set. I'm feeling all right about that, even though Pierce is my first pick as far as defensive lineman. Did I just throw it all out there? Yes. Yes, I did.
I feel like Carter's a guy who could probably move around a little bit and play a spot between sort of like as a blitzing outside linebacker and also down in a three-point stance because we know that he's played both. But he obviously emerged as a defensive end and is that primarily. I don't hate Abdul Carter at 2. Like, we know I want the quarterback at 2, and I'd like them to solve that problem first. But I don't hate Abdul Carter at 2. It's fine. If you're not going to draft a quarterback, that's the route I'd like you to go.
Yep. If you're not going to draft a quarterback, which they better not, and they're not going to move off of number 2. Now, they need to move off of number 2. That's the truth. Yeah, man. Carter's the pick. But I don't see what you – I'm blank on the same thing you're blank on. I don't get the whole hype about Hunter at receiver, man. I just don't get it.
He's good. He's a really good receiver. He's just not like a generational receiver prospect, right? When he's both at the same time, a wide receiver and a corner, has the potential to be a generational prospect, 100%. He can be a good receiver and I think a great corner. And it's with both of them. Then if he's just a receiver, he's just a good receiver. Late first, early second – again, that's sort of where I see it.
We're good enough at corner. We're good enough at corner. 23 just had a bad year. And his rookie year was real 23. And I'm gonna say this in exit. Milroe can work. If he's there at the second round, they find some way to work up and get another pick in the second round, other than the pick they have, that dude could work. I'm not that concerned about his accuracy anymore. So talk to you later.
Very interesting. All right. Appreciate all it, right. Todd. Todd covered about every base possible within that conversation. He was like, all right, listen, we got Abdul Carter. We don't go Abdul Carter. We trade back. Don't go quarterback. With Jalen Milroe, we covered it all. But I don't mind Jalen Milroe. Again, I've had the conversation. We've talked ourselves not into Jalen Milroe, but in the idea of in a scenario where it could work. I just don't know. Second round quarterback's an interesting spot, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show too, more so about the idea of Tyler Shug, but really the second round quarterback position, it's weird. And when we talked to Dan about it, it's an odd spot, because if you're going to take a quarterback in the second round, and obviously early, and Todd wasn't talking about with 33, but more so getting back into the second round, if you're going to take one in the second round, usually you would take that guy in the first round. You get the fifth year option, it's your quarterback, so you like to maybe figure that out and have that sort of done. But at the same time, yeah. Like, if you're taking him late in the second round, that's a different conversation. So it makes sense. I still do maybe not love the idea of a quarterback in the second round. I don't know. It feels odd. If I can get him in the second, can I get something similar in the third? Well, again, we'll address it probably in the 10 o'clock hour. But going your way in about 5 minutes. It'll be 9 o'clock, which means we'll do what we always do at 9 o'clock. It's Get a Grip. Coming your way next right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.